your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good morning with Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire, and Chuck Hines. We get this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our pen pal Juan. He says, live in West Lubbock by Wolfert and got a little over an inch at my house. Jordan offers this home improvement, DIY thought, for the rain gauge at my house. Get some band clamps so you don't have to puncture your fence with a nail or screw. Okay. I know you know what a band clamp is, but I'm...
Band clamp?
Yeah.
I do not know what a band clamp...
Okay. Is it intriguing to you?
Oh, it's interesting.
Good. Okay. We get this report from Wall, Texas, with regard to rain amounts. 0.0.
Oh, man.
That sounds
disappointing.
Sounds disgruntled there, is what that sounds.
Yeah.
Band clamps are those little metal clamps that
like
have the
clamp?
Screw on it.
Oh.
That gets tighter as you spin the screw and it.
Yeah.
I see a lot of them in automotive.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, that would work for a fence.
Okay.
Also, isn't this like your second to last permanent resident in Lubbock?
What?
For you, Chuck?
Yeah.
Like you have your permanent
residence? I got dirt, yeah, right.
You got dirt that's permanent.
Right.
You don't plan on moving anymore, right?
No, huh?
So what does anybody else care if you put a hole in your fence?
Well,
it's your fence.
I know, but I want it to look good, though, too. Maybe I just put the rain gauge over by the bird bath. Because water accumulates in the bird bath. Put it there. Just set it up right there. But then the robins would have to dance around it, you know. And the baby robins.
There's nothing wrong with dancing robins. They bop in the treetop all day long, rocking and a bopping and singing a song.
Oh, rockin' robin.
All the little birdies on Jaybird Street. I love to hear the robins go tweet, tweet, tweet.
That was really good.
Do you like that?
Yeah, that was really good.
That was like my favorite song as a kid.
Really? Rockin' Robin? Mm-hmm. Rockin' Robin. Tweet. Tweetly-deet. Rockin' Robin. Tweet. Tweetly-deet. Something like that.
Yeah.
6:34. I tell you, I am intrigued by this story. I'm wondering what is taking so long. The head coach at Kentucky, John Calipari, announced yesterday that he's leaving. Said this program probably needs to hear another voice. I think that's probably very astute of him. He talked about that Kentucky...
Which is code for, I think they're not really in support of me here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a good chance that I'll be fired at the end of next year unless they have a great year. So I'm going to move somewhere else where there's job security.
Yeah, and I think you were spot on Monday with, you know, regard to the reboot and comparing it, you know, at a different scale, obviously. But Tommy Tuberville leaving here to go to Cincinnati and get himself another contract, another 3 years and another, you know, $2 or $3 million a year and, you know, set himself up because it was clear it wasn't working and he might have gotten one more year, but he didn't get extended and he was going to get fired. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were point on point there. The thing that I'm intrigued by is with all of this, not a peep out of Arkansas. Not like, hey, press conference coming. I mean, you hear this. All you hear is, and I don't think that nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just intriguing to me that here we are. It's like, okay, well, I thought, you know, they want to get past the national championship game. They don't want to take away the thunder of the national championship game with trying to make an announcement. They want to have their day in the sun too. They want to grab the headline as much as they can. I mean, they've been grabbing the headline, but you just keep hearing about massive deal coming soon. Massive deal. John Calipari in Arkansas working on massive deal, long-term deal, 8 years or 5 years, $40 million, $8 million a year, NIL money. Yet no word of a press conference yet. No word of a, hey, come on down here to Bud Walton Arena. We've hung a big sign. Welcome Coach Cal. We're going to have a big podium set up. You know, come down here and, you know, call the hogs. Woo, pig suey. Everybody's going to come down here. Calipari's going to have a bright red jacket on. He's going to say, oh, man, I've never had red on before, but it feels really good. I mean, why we had that here.
Why would he have a bright red jacket on?
Well, the whatever color.
That color is not bright red.
Well, it's red, right?
It's maroonish. It's I mean, cardinalish. It's not bright red.
Okay. Anyway.
We wear red. They're not the same color.
So you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Whatever color red it is, whatever the okay. whatever the PMS color is, or whatever they call it. That's yeah, I think it's PMS color is what they call the graphic artists have that little code, right? Anyway, it's just intriguing to me that we have not yet heard from. I mean, all signs point to they're preparing for it, but it's like, okay, when's this coronation going to take place here?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, but I mean, I guess they're just working through some things. Probably there's some contract, you know, going back and forth there.
Yeah,
just think that's probably the case in this situation.
And you know, now and you know, Kentucky has acknowledged that Coach Calipari is leaving and has left, and has you know done the obligatory thanking him for his time here and appreciate his contributions here and all that he and Mrs. Coach Cal did to on and off the court and blah blah blah. You know. And anyway, the bottom line is he's going to be the head coach at Arkansas. That's going to happen. It's just when is that going to happen?
Can't imagine it'll be too long. I mean, they want to get this deal done so they can
go on.
He can get on to spending their money to buy recruits.
Right. Got to get everybody signed up. Right. Right. So I'm just kind of curious about that. And then what happens next? Like Kentucky's now, you know, supposedly, well, we're talking to Scott Drew, we're talking to Billy Donovan, we're reaching out to this guy, we're reaching out to that guy.
Wouldn't it be funny if Kentucky announced a new guy before Arkansas did?
Yes. And that guy got to work on it, you know?
He beat Coach Cal to the punch on you know, some new recruits.
Right, because you know when they host that press conference for Kentucky, it's going to be massive because it's Kentucky. As he said, the bluest of blue bloods.
Did you like how I called him Coach Cal?
I did. I think he did that just for me.
I did.
It threw me a bone.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
This day in sports history, it's April the 10th. After today, we're a third of the way through the month of April. It is sliding by quickly. Here's Jeff McGuire.
I'm going to start with 1913, specifically for Jamie, because New York Highlanders play their very first Major League Baseball game as the New York Yankees. Hmm. They would lose to the Senators 2-1 at Griffin Stadium, however, but President Woodrow Wilson threw out the very first ball.
How about that?
Starting their history and tradition of losing.
I think William Howard Taft was the first president to throw out a first pitch at a baseball game. He was a large man, Mr. Taft.
1947, Jackie Robinson becomes the first black player in the 20th century to sign a Major League Baseball contract. Brooklyn GM Branch Rickey announces the Dodgers had bought Robinson's contract from the Montreal Royals. So, you know, big event coming up soon. 1961, Washington Senators play their first game in franchise history with President John F. Kennedy in attendance. They would lose 4-3 in a decision to the White Sox. 1962, a year later, Houston Colt 45s make their Major League Baseball debut with an 11-2 win over the Cubs at Colt Stadium. 1979, J.R. Richard of the Houston Astros pitches a complete game but sets a Major League Baseball record by throwing 6 wild pitches in a 2-1 win over the Dodgers in the Astrodome.
Man, he was lightning fast.
2005, the 69th U.S. Masters took place. Tiger Woods wins his 4th green jacket in a one-hole playoff with Chris DiMarco. And in 2022... The number four Texas Tech Red Raider baseball team rallied, scoring three runs in the bottom of the ninth to defeat Kansas State 7-6 at Rip Griffin Park. Sophomore sensation Jace Young provided the walk-off home run to seal the comeback bid
that
clinched Tech's first Big 12 series sweep since 2019.
Nice.
It is National Cinnamon Crescent Day.
Sounds good.
Cinnamon Crescent?
Crescent.
And that's different than a croissant.
Very much different.
Okay.
This is more pastry than...
Yeah, they're the little smaller ones.
Yeah.
You have me at cinnamon.
Oh, sure. Happy birthday to Mandy Moore, who's 40. Daisy Ridley, 32. Steven Seagal, who's crazy, 72. Haley Jo Osment, 36. Ken Griffey Sr., 74. And Corey Kluber is 38.
Why is...
Steven Seagal crazy?
Yes.
Because he is.
Yeah, he...
He's, what did I miss there?
He's kind of gotten off the reservation.
The brain wagon.
Yeah.
The brain wagon. Yeah.
Like, he's not a bad guy. He's just certifiable. That would be... He could have some rubber rooms around him.
Has he run amok with the law?
No.
No.
Quite the opposite, actually. Thinks he is a sheriff. And it... He's gone a little crazy.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for
it. Not bad crazy, just crazy uncle territory crazy.
Okie dokie.
And in 1949, Walter Hunt, a name I want you to remember in future references to this, a mechanical and independent inventor from New York, patents his metal invention with a spring called a safety pin. Although later businessmen would make a fortune selling the ambiguous device, Hunt sold the rights for just $400 and never earned anything else off of it.
Wow.
The safety pin, this day in sports history.
William Howard Taft did indeed, for a fact, throw out the first ceremonial pitch at a Major League Baseball game. He did that on April the 14th of 1910. Okay. Time now for our secret word of the day, or our just word of the day. How about that? We are a Lubbock-based media group, Raymar Communications, and we would love for you to not only shop, but also listen to our local radio stations. That's why Double T 97.3 has teamed up with the Home Zone, making your house a home. They're a locally owned business, too. They're going to give away, we are, all together, a total of $10,000 to lucky listeners. All you have to do to get registered is listen to Double T 97.3. Then at this time, at 6:45-ish, 8:45, right on the noggin, and then 4:45 in the afternoon, you listen for the winning word. Then log on to DoubleT973.com and enter that word for your chance to win weekly cash, just like a Morning Drive listener did yesterday. Right? Nicholas Barrera?
That's right.
He won $250.
I think.
Courtesy of us.
I think he listens to the Morning Drive and Tech Talk, so that's okay. Good news.
We just love the fact that he's listening to Double T 97.3.
That's right.
The whole team.
The whole kit and caboodle.
24/7. The more times you enter, the more chances you have a chance to win. This is not a national contest. It's a local one, so the money will be given away to you, the local listener. That's all from Double T 97.3 in the Home Zone, making your house a home. Not as... connecting a word of the day today, although I can tell you that the West Virginia Mountaineers have one player in the portal for their basketball team, their new coach. He has successfully brought his son with him. And at 6:51 this morning, our winning word today is Mountaineers. Mountaineers. MOUNTAINEERS, Mountaineers. You don't have to spell it correctly, but, I mean, it's always good to spell things correctly. Get in the habit of spelling the word correctly. So Mountaineers is our word here this morning at 6:45. We'll have another winning word at 8:45 today. All right. 6:51 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thank you for being with us. Somebody says this. Can you imagine a team being the Colt 45s these days?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of the Washington Bullets, which I think it's silly. Silly. But, I mean, nobody in their right frame of mind, maybe even Steven Seagal, will go, oh, you know, bullets, man, that means that people are going to load up all their guns and, you know, go out and shoot each other up. Bullets, the Washington Bullets. They had a cool logo, too. When they became the Wizards, they just kind of lost their moxie.
I mean, they didn't do anything great when they were the Bullets, really, either.
I think they won a championship.
Okay. All right. What year was that?
I don't know.
Were Jeff and I born?
I don't know. Washington Bullets. Were you born? Yeah, I think you were. I mean, it's not been more than 50 years ago. Let's see here. Washington Bullets. I say that they won one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always accurate, not always fair. Championships. Yeah, they won in 1978. There you go.
Okay, I was four.
Okay. Yeah. I'll bet you know some players on that 1978 Washington Bullet team. I mean, they had some pretty good players on that team. You were four. That was my junior year in high school. Let's see. Man. You know, when you say things like that, makes you feel old. Let's see. Elvin Hayes was on that team, Jamie.
Heard of him.
Mitch Kupchak was on that team.
Heard of him.
Wes Unseld was on that team.
Heard of him.
And aside from that, those are the biggie. Bobby Dandridge was on that team. Heard of him?
Never heard of Bobby Dandridge.
Okay. He was a really good. He was a pretty good player for him. He was a good player for him. He averaged 19 a game. The Big E averaged 19.7. Kupchak was a big... How about Kevin Grevy? Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Okay.
Chuck, I was -3 days old.
-3 days old.
When they won their championship.
Okay. Oh. It's just a few days before your birthday, huh?
Be -3, yes.
Okay. Well, that was 17 and some change. All right, it's
killing it already.
Yeah, not really.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Well, this is pretty funny. I think it's funny. Not funny, ha ha, just kind of funny, ha ha. Yes,
ha ha, ho ho, hee hee, hoo hoo. They're coming to take me away.
Yeah, me and Steven Seagal. Apparently, yesterday at about 4:30. There was a news release from the University of Arkansas system, Jamie. There's going to be a special meeting of the Board of Trustees this morning at 9 a.m. The stated purpose of that meeting was, quote, to consider a salary in excess of line item maximum for the University of Arkansas, comma, Fayetteville, period, end of quote. In excess of line item maximum for the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville. Gosh, I wonder who that is. Could it be John Calipari?
I bet it's the football coach too for a reason.
Line item maximum. I think that's kind of funny. I think that's kind of funny.
Okay, good.
We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you tonight at 5:30, Balls and Strikes at 6:05 from Abilene Christian, to be specific. I got to think there's some position players that are going to get some opportunities tonight. Hopefully it's one of those deals like, and I know they're a good team. I know that they're competitive and they've given you fits to a certain degree, But hopefully, it's one of those games you get out and you're like up 10-0 in the fifth. And Coach Tadlock looks...
not asking for much, are you?
No, not asking for much. Okay, 10-2. I'll give him two runs. We'll walk in a run or something like that. But, you know, you kind of look down the bench and go, hey, Johnny, go grab a bat. You're going to get in there and get some innings. You know, because you'd like to see if you probably got some position player guys that you would like to see what they can do too, right?
Sure you would. But have you seen... in any of these, I mean, games that you're speaking of, 10-0.
No, I haven't, but I'm just, I mean, dare to dream, right? I choose joy, Jamie. Is that what you said yesterday? You choose joy?
I just don't think it's going to be that easy for you. I mean, I just outlined to you that you're, I mean, you're throwing the back end of your bullpen.
No, no.
You know? Yeah. And yet you're going to be up 10-0 in the fifth.
Dare to dream, man.
If that's the case, yeah, I'm sure you'd love to put some of those other hitters in there and
dare to dream.
Give them some shots. Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I'm feeling my oats this morning. You know, feel like that. You know, the bats have awakened and the guys are, you know, full of vim and vigor and they're confident, and that is going to spread over to the pitching staff, and it's contagious, and it's going to run through that bus on the way to Abilene today. They're going to have, you know, a nice lunch somewhere, and then they're going to get there and they go, okay, boys, let's go out there and just kick their butts.
Here's what I think. I think you can compete. I think in Big 12 play, I absolutely think you can. I think you've got the arms to do it. I think you've got the bats to do it. I think all the above with that. I don't think right now 6 games in 8 days is conducive to what you, or maybe that's not the right word to use, is the perfect scenario for what you have right now with you dealing with so many banged up arms. Okay, so, you know, and obviously when you put the schedule together, you had no idea that was going to be the case. And then you get another bad break with having to move Tuesday's game to Wednesday. Again, like I told you yesterday, sure does benefit TCU to just blow out both of their games this week.
Yeah.
Okay. At a time when they're really struggling. But it's, you know, it's not, you're not in an ideal situation right now with missing those guys in the bullpen. Some really important guys. Midweek starters, okay, and key guys that you can use out of the bullpen. So you're, again, you have enough talent, enough quality, enough hitters, pitchers, all the above to win Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I think that's what Coach Tadlock is and his staff are focusing on. Hey, we got to put ourselves in the best situation to win these Big 12 games. Okay? But, I mean, I just right now you're not where you know you want to have depth in your pitching staff so you can be good in midweeks. Right now that depth is gone with the recent rash of injuries that you've had dropped upon you. I mean, really key injuries. And so I mean, now you're just trying to do everything you can to make sure you're winning on the weekend. At the same time, knowing that may come at the expense of putting your best foot forward for these midweek games.
And to be clear, I mean, we're not, in general, not certain what the totality of these injuries might be with regard to whether it's Zane Petty or Tabor Fast or even Trenton Parrish, right?
No, I have no knowledge. All I know is you haven't used them in a while. I mean, Parrish was used on Tuesday, and didn't you get used this weekend when you desperately needed him?
Right, and that's so the whole. And clearly, that's the whole key there.
Yeah, so clearly that means that he. Well, I mean, I guess it could be other things, but I think it's easy to just lean towards thinking something's wrong.
Yeah,
right. He's hurt,
especially and with the other two, it's been quite some time since you've seen Fast or Petty.
Yes, it's been a few weeks.
Yeah, so
clearly they're not healthy.
So if you kind of looked at it and went, well, it appears you're not going to have those guys for quite some time, but maybe Parrish was just a situation.
I really have no idea. Maybe it was like, hey, let's rest you for 2 weeks and then you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Heck, maybe one of them comes out of the bullpen, the first guy out of the pen today. I have no clue. I have no clue. Don't know.
So anyway, you've got that. All right. So I'm going to ask you one of those "would you take" kind of questions. Okay.
Oh boy.
I know. I know. Would you take a sweep over TCU, but you lose tonight and you lose Tuesday and Wednesday against Arkansas?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought you would.
I would.
I thought you would.
I'm just right now focused more about the Big 12 standings and all that, but obviously, you probably would be better off for your postseason of taking 2 of 3 against TCU and taking 1 from Arkansas.
That's exactly what was going through my head. It's like, if you could split there and at least win the series with TCU, and then not that you can assume that you're going to win tonight. But, man, winning tonight would – that would – that's not going to take any pressure off. It just kind of helps you going into the weekend, I think, with your mindset.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
You know, I think it helps you going into the weekend with your mindset. So, 7:23 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. And, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, you're kind of dinged up right now, and your bullpen is not, you know, what you thought it was going to be, and you've got some, you know, other challenges that you've had with your midweek starters, and you know, you're a little lean. You're a little lean there right now. 7:23. Somebody says this 10-0 lead might not be big enough lead if you haven't thrown back end guys. Yeah, no, I understand that.
I mean, that's kind of what we saw last week. I mean, you had a 12-2 lead in in a game against now I'm forgetting. You let really large leads slip away twice. Tuesday against Stanford and well, almost slip away because you won both of those games. They never caught up, and then the Sunday game against Houston, where they got really tight. Okay, so
somebody asked this question real quick. Any chance that Damian Bravo pitches in this stretch?
I would guess no, but I'm not 100% certain.
Which means you don't want to mess that guy up because his bat is unbelievable right now.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, Chuck, we've got to be better today.
We got to listen.
If Jamie says rank them, we have to give them the rankings.
Right, yeah.
We're going to be better today. Okay. Go ahead, Jamie.
It's just a listening thing.
Yeah.
It's just a listening thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so next year in the new Big 12 conference.
Okay,
so I can get your mind to there.
Okay.
Texas and Oklahoma are gone.
Right.
Four new teams coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two-part question.
Okay. Here's the key factor here. Two parts.
A, who do you think... What is the best rivalry in the Big 12 Conference? And moving forward, and B, or two, if you may, who do you think is going to end up being Texas Tech's biggest rival moving forward?
Mm. The best rivalry, and then who's going to be Texas Tech's biggest rivalry?
Jeff, you want to go first?
I go ahead. Go ahead.
What's that?
I know it sounded like up. You know.
I think he was bothered that I offered you the chance to go first.
BYU Utah.
Yeah, it's
is the best rivalry currently in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was my answer. I think there's a lot of hatred there between those two sides.
Too.
And not gonna lie, kind of on BYU side. Like, I kind of get it. Utah's got its nose stuck up pretty high in the air for a whole lot of reason for it. So I'm kind of on BYU side on this one. For Tech's future rival, I want it to be Oklahoma State. I don't know that we're going to have the hatred for the Cowboys, though, that will match our hatred for the Horned Frogs. I don't think the Horned Frogs are going to be at the top of the conference, like I think Oklahoma State will be in some respective sports that really matter. I really do think it's going to be Tech and Oklahoma and Utah running forward for the Big 12 football. And I don't know that TCU is going to be there, but I think our hatred for TCU is going to take over that rivalry.
Okay.
I'm with Jeff on the Utah and BYU. I think there's a chance that West Virginia and Cincinnati, but it's not going to be the same as BYU and Utah. You know, just in terms of the absolute hatred, take a picture of the score for your Christmas card. You know, for the Mormons or the Utahs, the whole holy war kind of stuff. I mean, it's That's huge. And I'm with Jeff. I want it to be Oklahoma State, but it's, I just think there's too many, I mean, there's too many friends and family on both sides. I think the competitiveness, you know, between those two can be really good. I'm not sure about the Tech and TCU. I don't know if that's manufactured outrage or manufactured hate, but I think it's as close to somebody that you can. I think for Tech, you're going to have pockets of that, because I think the true hatred for Tech fans is Kansas basketball. But it doesn't go that way with football. And it doesn't necessarily go that way with baseball. So I think if you're looking at it from a global standpoint, I think it's Tech and TCU.
Okay, so I definitely agree with you guys on the BYU-Utah thing. I think that the entire conference is going to dislike Utah just with comments that they've made and previously about, you know, joining the conference and, you know, and not wanting Big 12 schools in the Pac-12 and all that kind of stuff, and now they're having to eat their words. I think Big 12 fans are, for the most part, going to dislike Utah. But BYU definitely has a long-standing history of hate. I think it's interesting you mentioned the West Virginia and Cincinnati one. That'll be kind of fun. It's funny that we don't look towards Arizona and Arizona State.
Yeah.
You think that's like just a crazy major rivalry? But
somebody points that out on the text line.
Okay, maybe. And so maybe it's just that we don't know about that one as much.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Maybe they're quieter fan bases, so we don't know about it as much. I think it's interesting you guys also want Oklahoma State to be the rival more than you do TCU. So why do you think that is?
I think that the schools are similar. I think
Well, they've copied everything we do. Of course they're similar.
Yeah, right. But I also think the football program has been, I mean, it's obviously Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy is, I think, a polarizing figure. I think the basketball, there have been times when it's been good. It's not now, obviously. I think, you know, you've talked about the baseball program there and how good they've been over the years, and their coaches haven't always been likable. Probably likable if you're there, but not likable if you're not there.
I don't know. I think I know enough OSU fans that feel like their coach is very, very mediocre.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I want it to be Oklahoma State, because I just don't think, I think their people are more like our people. I don't think the TCU people are not like our people.
We have to find some TCU people first. No.
I do not feel like we are like the Oklahoma State people. Oh man, I am so offended right now.
I don't mean to be offended. I'm not trying to be offensive. Seem to walk into it every day.
I don't want to elevate TCU.
I'm with Jeff on that.
I mean, in that regard.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we hate them, but we're allowed to hate people and not think they're on our level. I think Oklahoma State's on our level, and I think we're on Oklahoma State's level. And that there's some, you know, when Titans clash, this is what happens. And I'm not saying that Tech and Oklahoma State are Titans, but, you know, by God, we could be from this going forward, because everything's up for grabs in the Big 12.
So I never really gave my answer to the second one. I think there are two universities that are disrespected across the state big time all the time. And I think they're thought of less by the others across the Metroplex and across the state as a whole. And I think Texas Tech and Houston are going to end up having a very big rivalry. I want it to be TCU. I can't stand anything about TCU, anything. I 100% want it to be TCU, but I think Tech and Houston is going to turn into a very big rival.
Okay. Yep. What do you think?
Very big rivalry, I should say.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
With Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today. Appreciate all the reaction on the Yates Flooring Center chat line today. You can go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app and continue to chime in. We come to you this morning from the First United Bank studio, and again, look forward to hearing from you today. We get this from our friendly face that greets us or greets you on the road, Dan in Dallas. He says, Jamie, I hope to see you this weekend. Wreck 'em.
Yes.
Okay.
Just got an email from Danny. He sent me some restaurant suggestions. So
for Fort Worth or for...
For Fort Worth, yeah.
Okay.
Do they have burgers plain and dry?
We'll have to see.
I'm sure if Jamie...
Is that or is that not Jamie's favorite meal? I am not being sarcastic here. I'm making sure that he's actually getting information he can use.
Kind of sounded like a little bit of sarcasm there coming from.
No!
I think if Dan's going to suggest a place for me, he thinks that it's... I mean, he gave me a pizza place earlier this year that was awesome. So I think he knows my food taste.
Your palate?
Yeah.
Yeah. We get this at 7:30. Jamie's question of the day was, who's our rival and who's the biggest rivalry going to be in the Big 12? And the general consensus, I think, was for us, it was without a doubt BYU and Utah. We had someone on the text line say Arizona and Arizona State because he had lived in I'm presuming he had lived in Arizona in that area and got to witness that firsthand. I brought up Oklahoma State. Jeff brought up Oklahoma State to a degree. We both talked about that. And then we get this text, and it's a long text, but I thought it was well written and appreciate the time that was taken to send it to us. Don't know who you know from Oklahoma State, but if you've spent any time with OSU fans on game days and moving in your kid to the dorm or other campus events, if they didn't have a telling color, you couldn't tell any difference in terms of friendliness and passion for their teams. My daughter is finishing her second year, and the similarity of the city being university-driven and the passion for the university is almost the same. My daughter didn't want to go to school in the city we lived and has always been a Texas Tech fan. She chose Oklahoma State over Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Ole Miss, much because of the comfort level. I think you're quite blinded by the baseball hatred among other sports, which is why OSU is our biggest rival moving forward. Okay, well, I appreciate your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your opinion. Michael from the ranch said this, Jamie is a former Houstonian. I can honestly say that in order to have a rivalry, you have to have fans that care. Cougar High can't put 40,000 people in their brand new state-of-the-art stadiums, even when they are winning. Well, the Fertitta Center doesn't seat, you know, for basketball. It looked like they had pretty passionate crowds there for the men, because obviously Houston has got it going from a men's basketball standpoint. He said, I believe that moving forward that Utah will be our biggest rival. Lots of similarities between the fan bases.
Oh,
interesting.
Really? Wow.
That's interesting.
Didn't see that one coming.
I didn't either.
I feel insulted now.
But I think we all agree that Utah is pretty unlikable.
Yeah, right.
So maybe
hence why I feel insulted.
Right.
Yeah.
I lived in Arizona, so to me it's Arizona State and Arizona. The cities hate each other, so do the students. For us, it's going to be TCU. Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah. Somebody also said, I'm glad Arizona State is joining the Big 12. Tempe and Mill Avenue are great spots. I've been on Mill Avenue. It's been quite some time. But I agree. Tempe and Mill Avenue are, I think, fun places to go. So, anyway, just a couple thoughts from earlier today. So, we'll see. This, Jamie, they're right on Oklahoma State. Don't judge the whole group on the few people you know. Most Oklahoma State fans are very similar to Tech fans. Okay. All right. Well, again, thanks for chiming in this morning here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
On the morning drive, and appreciate everybody's insight. We get this. How did you get all the horses in the pool, Jeff? That's sarcasm there.
We borrowed the Astro trash cans. It was fine.
Okay.
We thought about using camels because they can swim, but, you know, regulations and all.
Oh, yes.
Right, because camels can swim.
I had no idea.
We're going to get to this Big 12 football coaches kind of ranking. We'll do that at 8:15. But, Jamie, Tech baseball tonight, do you have a key kind of stat tonight?
Score a bunch of runs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Score a bunch of runs. That's good.
What would a safe lead be tonight? See, that's the question that I was pondering all weekend. Like, is 6 runs safe? I didn't feel like 6 runs was safe all weekend, especially as we got to Sunday. Was 10 runs safe?
Can you tell me who Coach Gardner and Coach Tadlock plan to use in the game tonight?
I can't. I think that's the other catch.
Well, then I can't tell you what the safe lead is. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you're 6 or 8 or 10, you feel better about things.
Oh, sure.
feel like you got a good shot.
There's less nervousness when it's six or eight, but with safe. And I don't know that we have that right now.
Are you and Hexton going to get...
I think we have that on the weekends. We will
sure,
have
sure,
that.
Yeah.
We just won't... I don't know that we'll have that tonight.
Just curious if you and Hexton are going to get to the ballpark early tonight to flood the field to help Coach Tadlock get a rain delay or even a rain out tonight. No?
Yes, that's the plan.
That's the plan. I think that'd be something that... I mean, there's only a 20% chance of rain. So, and then tonight, 0% chance. So,
yeah, just go win.
Yeah, just go win. Just go TCB it, right? Take care of business.
Throw strikes.
You are going to have a sunny
hit with runners in scoring position.
Okay, you are going to have a sunny sky tonight at 7 o'clock. 64 degrees temperature at game time, so it should be somewhat pleasant for you tonight.
Good.
I knew that you would want to know that. 8:08 this morning here on the morning drive. If you had to guess, how many pitchers will be used tonight?
For Tech or both teams combined?
Just for Tech.
I'll guess seven.
Seven. I had somewhere between four and six in my head. Okay. Seven. That's it.
I like it. I like seven. That means you've used seven already this year in recent
weeks.
That means you got a couple of guys going a couple innings and everybody else is taking care of business for one.
Sure.
I'm in.
A bunch of bullpen arms get an inning or two. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody.
It's pretty normal.
Okay. Kevin writes in this morning, Utah and BYU will be the biggest rivalry in the Big 12. Bring back the holy war between the two universities. Go Utes. Oh, kick some rail. Appears he is a Utah fan.
Fun.
We've got one of those in our midst. Well, thanks for listening, Kevin. Don't share all of our secrets with your brethren. But we understand. But appreciate you tuning in. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like when Utah comes to town eventually, whether it's football or basketball or even baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious how the Utah fans travel from a football standpoint.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.